It is Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, Dubai Eye, there all week from the 16th through the 19th. Drive Live there today. Alex is there with Sally. The 10th World Future Energy Summit opened today as well. Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week is on. Let's get some more details. Head back down there now.
You're listening to Drive Live.
Broadcasting live from Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week 2017. Hosted by Masdar. Practical steps toward a sustainable future.
Thanks, Tim. Yep, we're live down here in Abu Dhabi. And as you just heard, we spoke to Christoph Ostermann, who's the CEO of Sunnen. This is this battery that they install into residential places where you can store your energy and then feed it back through the system, but actually whenever someone else needs it. So it doesn't just feed straight back through, Sally, because sometimes those moments that you need it are at night instead
exactly.
of when you are actually getting the energy during the day.
Exactly, not when the sun is shining bright and everybody's feeding into the grid. Actually, this product is fantastic because it stores this energy and you can use it any time of the day. So actually, the grid is then stabilized. This is something that he explained to us off air, which is one of the incredible features of the product.
And we'll talk to him again just briefly because there are so many more questions to ask. We'll get those details and we'll bring them to you a little bit later on in the program. But let's move now to electric vehicles. How many of them have you seen in the Emirates, Sally? Just a very quick question. Off the top of your head,
none.
Exactly. Not many, but there are actually a few hundred, we hear. Apparently about 70 or so Teslas, that's what we've been hearing today. And there's one guy trying to change that and trying to bring those numbers far beyond those. So he's running the first ever electric vehicle road trip where we're going to see over 10 cars make their way around the country at the end of this month. It kicks off on the 29th of January. I got the chance to find out more earlier today.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I am currently sitting in a Tesla. This is a Tesla S, isn't it?
Tesla Model S.
Tesla Model S. And I am sitting with Ben Pullen, who's the founder and managing director of the Global EVRT. This is the Global Electric Vehicle Road Trip, and for the first time ever, it's coming to the Emirates. This is very exciting, Ben.
Yes, and this will be the first electric vehicle road trip in the Middle East.
So this is a convoy of over 10 electric vehicles, and you're actually taking these vehicles around each of the seven Emirates in the UAE.
Yeah, so we've got around 5 Tesla Model S and a Model X, a Volkswagen that's driven all the way from the Netherlands to Dubai, so 34,000 miles. He's joining us for the electric vehicle road trip. And then we have a selection of Renault cars. So the Renault Zoe model will be joining us.
Tell us a little bit about the trip. Where do you start and where do you end?
We start in Dubai. One of the main objectives of the road trip is to get as many people as possible to see these cars, feel them, test them, drive them, because the technology is incredible. And this is a country of car lovers, of technology lovers. So we want to get many people exposed to these cars.
We are currently sitting in the car and there's probably about 10 people trying to get in and look at it at the moment, fending them off left, right and center. What has the response been like so far? We've only been here for a few hours, but how have people responded to a fully electric car?
They love it. They get so excited. And that's why we can do what we do with this event. So one of the biggest challenges with anything you're trying to sell or promote is how do you engage people? How do you engage the public? And we found through running this event for the last 2 years in London and Europe is that the best way to engage people is through excitement. So we run these very exciting road trips with electric vehicles. It's all about technology, innovation, allowing people to see different cars like the Tesla. So the response has been fantastic. And that's, you know, from a public mass market level all the way up to industry and government.
There would be a lot of people listening going, I can wait for an electric vehicle. Petrol prices are cheap enough here. I like my V8 engines. Mm. What would you say to those people?
I would say that petrol price is fading away from the equation when it comes to electric cars. Traditionally, we've never really bought cars based on economics. You wouldn't buy a car as an investment. You know that you'll lose money on it, full stop. Mm. And the technology in a Tesla, in a BMW i3, in the Renault Zoe range, is becoming so good that it's almost far superior to your petrol cars, you know, even your Lamborghinis, your Porsche, and these types of cars. So I think, you know, people love cars, they love good technology, and that's what the electric vehicles are bringing now. So once they try it, I'll let them make the decision themselves.
What about the roar of the engine? Do you think anyone, will we eventually get over that sound? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the cars that we love, the Ferraris and the Lamborghinis, yeah, are loud, and they give you that, a lot of people describe it as music to their ears when they hear the engine rev. Do you think as a population, as people, we will eventually get over that and look for something else?
I love the roar of an engine, but I love the whiz of the sound of the battery and the motor when you're accelerating 0 to 100 at 2.5 seconds.
It's like a spaceship.
It's like a spaceship. Things around you, your eyes can't take the speed. So, you know, things just start to move. It's like being on a roller coaster in a car that you can drive on the roads legally. It's amazing.
So it's a completely different experience, basically.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, as the new generation of car buyers come into the market, they'll be more familiar with electric cars and less familiar with petrol cars. So when I meet, you know, the old school people, they just can't even imagine not being in a car with the sound of an engine. But when you speak to the younger generations, for them, they haven't really fallen in love with the sound of an engine too much. It's become less of the reason they'll buy a car.
When you did your road trip in London, what were the major challenges for you there?
Yeah, so London was in 2015, and that was a small road trip with Nissan. But the big one in Europe that happened in March last year saw us travel 3,500 kilometres across 10 countries. And what we do that's quite unique is we hold conferences along the way. So it's about education, bringing business and consumers together. So I think the biggest challenge is, good question.
Were there enough charging ports, for example? I mean, that's the first thing you need to take care of if you have an electric car, right?
So Europe is sorted, really, in the locations that we chose. We didn't do Spain last year. We're doing Spain this year. So we'll be stopping off in Madrid.
Why is that you miss Spain? They just didn't have the infrastructure at that time?
Yeah, so when we're using the Tesla, we rely on the Tesla Supercharge network. So these are the best charging stations on the market, and Tesla install them, and they're free to use for Tesla owners.
Okay.
So we traveled around the whole of Europe with no fuel cost, and at that point in time, Madrid and Spain didn't have the charging stations. They do now. So I guess, charging wasn't an issue. I think the biggest issue is when we stopped the charge. You have to stop every 2 to 3 hours.
Excuse me.
It was just the types of food that were available at the charging stations. You know, when you're driving for 7 to 8 days, you need some good food along the way.
So you want better food.
That was the biggest complaint, yeah. So that's one of the big challenges.
We'll make sure there's some good food over the 4 days you're here, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're bringing it to the UAE. First of all, why here? Why do you feel like it's necessary now that you go from Europe to this country to showcase these vehicles?
I've been here for just over 2 years now. I first came to work in solar energy. So for me, this was an interesting market for the solar and renewable energy. And once we finished the Europe EVRT in March last year, we just knew that the Emirates was the next stop that we need to be. And it's for a few reasons. One is that the government really is laying the foundations for us to build such an event. Yes, the market has a lot to do to sort of step up to the line of the rest of the world, but it's not hard for the UAE to do that, and they'll be able to do that quite quickly.
What needs to be done? Obviously, there are a few more charging ports being rolled out. I think there's over 100 alone in Dubai now. Mm. But what more, in your opinion, needs to be done?
Yeah, I think, you know, charging infrastructure actually isn't the biggest challenge here. The main thing is that the dealers need to start bringing the cars. But they'll only bring the cars if they sense a demand. Mm-hmm. So one of the best things that this road trip can deliver is we stimulate demand from the masses, from the consumers, by exposing so many people to the car that they start asking their dealers for a test drive. They start asking when the electric car is hitting the market. So we need the dealers to bring the cars, and we have so much confidence in the product. We believe that if the cars arrive, that people will buy them.
When do you realistically see that happening, that mindset changing here?
I think 2017 is the year that we'll really lay the foundations to build for the electric vehicle industry here. At the higher end of the market for the Tesla models, many people here are buying the cars, and they'll do that because there's, you know, high net worth individuals here. But for some of the cars that are aimed at the mass market, I think near the end of 2017, you'll start to see a surge of demand.
And over the road trip that you are doing around the Emirates, you're also unveiling new charging stations, right, in different Emirates. Just tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so we'll be installing 10 charging stations across the Emirates, and those charging stations are supplied by ENGIE.
What makes them different?
Yeah, so I think something that I really like about them is they look great. So we've got one outside there, and we're installing these at some of the core hotels across the Emirates. So the first thing, you know, they'll want is something that's visually appealing for their customers, for their audience. So they look great.
How do you use them? Say if I rocked up with a Tesla and I wanted to plug in my car, do you get a card that you pay, a prepaid card, or how do you actually pay for that top-up?
So the charging stations that we will install, the electricity is free if you're using the facilities of the hotel. And, you know, for the next 6 to 12 months, we can do that because there are not that many electric cars that will charge. So, you know, even if every electric car in the Emirates charged at these hotels, it wouldn't be a big cost for them.
All two of them.
Yeah. So there's about 60 to 70 Teslas here.
Okay.
And there's about 100 electric cars in total, including your Renault Zoes and the Twizzies and some other random electric cars.
And what's the range of this Tesla S model?
This will give you between 400 and 500 kilometres.
Okay. So you can realistically take that from Dubai to Abu Dhabi and back again in a day's work.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the best things about the UAE for electric vehicles is that there's not many distances that you'd be able to drive and run your battery to zero.
That was Ben Pullen, the founder and managing director of Global EVRT. This is this Emirates electric vehicle run that's taking place at the end of this month. So just watch out for us. A few cars, 10 actually in all, or a little bit more than that, will be making their way through the Emirates. All right, passing back to a studio. We're live at the Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week. More from us next.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Alex is in Abu Dhabi this afternoon. Sally Moussa is with her at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week.
You're listening to Drive Live.
Broadcasting live from Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week 2017. Hosted by Masdar. Practical steps toward a sustainable future.
Live update
from Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week 2017. Practical steps toward a sustainable future.
Thanks, Tim. Yep, and we are here at Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week, hosted by Masdar. This is Abu Dhabi's renewable energy company. So many different things happening down here. It's 10 days. So there's a lot going on, and it's pretty much everything to do with sustainability. So many different people down here. It's the largest gathering on sustainability in the history of the Middle East, and it's going strong. So Michelle Loxton joins us now here on the couches. Nice to see you, Michelle.
You too.
So you've been busy today, running around left, right and centre to pretty much every booth here.
Yes, every single one of them. All 20,000. No.
As many as you could get to, at least. And to this morning as well, you were here bright and early for the opening ceremony of Abu Dhabi Sustainability Week.
Yes, the key event that you need to be in
so,
day one.
Okay, so there are lots of different highlights or announcements at this event. What did you take away from it?
Well, I wanted to talk about His Excellency Dr. Sultan Al-Jaber's speech. He is the UAE's Minister of State and Chairman of Masdar, Abu Dhabi's renewable energy company. So he's, you know, he's passionate about sustainability. He's He actually was there. I don't know if you remember Solar Impulse 2. Of course, you must remember.
Yes.
It's a plane that went around the world without a drop of fuel. When it landed at Albertine Executive Airport at 3:30 in the morning, he was there.
You were there too.
I was there too, and I saw him there, and he was so excited. So he is passionate about sustainability. And in his speech today, he said the United Arab Emirates and the region are extending their reach to become the center of gravity for all forms of energy. And that's what's key here. He said for over 75 years, the region has been the leader of oil and gas. But that energy landscape is changing. And he shared how things in the Middle East are evolving.
In this new era, renewables and hydrocarbons enjoy a truly symbiotic relationship that is reshaping the economics of energy. And nowhere is this paradigm shift more true or relevant than here in this part of the world.
And he said, and these are the direct words of his speech, while oil and gas will remain critical drivers of the global economy for decades to come, we recognize the immediate and long-term advantages of a fully diversified energy mix. We value our hydrocarbon resources, yet see even greater opportunity in leveraging the benefits of both new and traditional forms of energy by integrating them all for more creative and productive commercial proposition. Those are the words of his speech. I've taken them out. So basically he's saying that new and traditional forms of energy all need to be working together.
We believe that both sectors must work hand in hand. Let us leverage the strengths of all forms of energy to deliver greater possibilities and far-reaching benefits. By doing so, we will lay a path that will lead us towards a sustainable future driven by a durable energy strategy. So let us step beyond the conventional, dare to do things differently, and carve a new energy cycle.
So that's what is happening at the moment. That's what needs to happen. That's what is happening. But did Dr. Sultan say that they are actually seeing positive results out of this?
He did, in fact, and he said, working collectively, renewables and natural gas have already begun to reset the carbon clock. So I didn't know this. So he said for the first time in the industrial age, carbon emissions are leveling off and even starting to drop.
I didn't know this either.
And this is why we're here, isn't it? Because we're learning so many things that we didn't know about sustainability or energy, different ways we're consuming energy and different ways we're actually giving energy back and providing it to other people.
So it means what we're all doing here today is starting to work. It's starting to work. So, and it's good for what we've said at COP. The big Paris Agreement that said we're not going to let our Earth heat by more than 2 degrees per year. We signed that agreement. We say we're not going to let it happen. And how we need to do that is to stop emitting carbon emissions. And he says that we're starting to see that because everybody's working together, and it's looking really positive. So it was a good speech this morning, and I think everybody's feeling good. So now it's just about more.
Back bright and early tomorrow morning, of course, Michelle, for you and us as well. We're going to be down here again. For now, Michelle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll hear from Michelle again just before 6 o'clock. Crossing back to you in studio.